I kept asking the Lord if he wanted to prophesy this or just want me to say it. I tried this, I think Wednesday night, I tried to say it and wound up prophesying it anyway. We're coming into a season. It's not law, it's not bondage. I'm not making any rules except the law of Christ. We're coming into a time for better, for, again, he speaks with me mostly in pictures now, and I have to try and translate that into words. The body of Christ is coming into a time of bowing the knee. Bowing the knee. Not this past week, but the week before, we were in Houston at Pastor LaRue's church, Houston Revival Center, for a conference there. And it was the title was the Kingdom Finance Conference. And it was that. But somebody, I think it was Kyle, actually. I always stumble when I start to say son-in-law because he's really my son. Bone of my bone. Flesh of my flesh, as far as I'm concerned. Because we kept seeing what the Spirit of God was doing. It was a Kingdom Finance Conference, but it was so much deeper than that. He said, you know, I think we should have just called this a Kingdom Conference. It's a Kingdom Conference. And I don't care what your calling is in the Kingdom. You're not going to be successful without first bowing the knee to the King. We're coming into a time of bowing the knee. And whether that's pleasant for you, whether that's I don't mean the bowing the knee part. What I mean is following his instructions after you bow the knee. Whether those instructions mean life is going to be real pleasant for you, or whether it's going to be unpleasant for you. It doesn't really matter because you've already bowed the knee to the King. Father, not my will, but thine be done. Okay. Now, it's hard sometimes to put words around pictures. You could have must say, I don't know how to say that, Lord. How do I say that? That's going to require sometimes. We live in an on-demand world. If you want entertainment, most of you have a box in your living room. Radio in your car. Some form of on-demand entertainment. And we so want his presence. And there is a certain level of his presence that is almost on demand. You can have his presence come. Just lift those hands. Begin to pray. Paul and Silas at midnight, their darkest hour, bleeding in the stocks in prison. It says they sang hymns and they worshiped God and they did it loud. Boy, did his presence come. Shook the prison. But what he's really talking about, and I'm trying to be very precise, there's going to be times when your presence, the King is going to demand it. And it's not optional. When he says, come, he doesn't mean at your convenience. When he says, I want you here at this time, there's coming a reality of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, in all of our lives, that's just higher than it has been in the past. He's not changing. We are changing. It's an accountability And it is a servitude. Some of the comments we had during that Houston revival, the week of meetings there, I've had those same kind of conversations with some of the conferences we've had here. Many things can be taught. Some things have to be caught. You can't automatically reproduce sometimes something that came at another time. I'm doing my best. Is this making any sense to you at all? Now that doesn't mean that you automatically, we're not making a law. That's why I started it out this way. We're not saying that you never ever can miss anything. But you can never ever miss anything He says for you to be at. Not and continue to say you're bowing the knee. If the Lord says be there, you be there. If the Lord says go here, go there, do this, do that at this time, people, well, it is optional in the sense you can choose to disobey. It is not optional if your goal is to walk His path for your life. And I know if you're at this church, that's your goal. The fast are going to go faster. The slow are going to go slower. Do you know what? Can you picture that? Here's two groups. This hand's faster. This hand's slower. Right now there's some, maybe they're almost touching. But if the fast go faster and the slow go slower, there's going to become a greater and greater gulf between the two. Which group you want to be in? Which group you want to be in? You're both going to wind up in heaven. We're not talking about that. We're talking about fulfilling your call. I don't want to be on the sidelines watching revival. Do you? And I don't know why this come on me so strong. I think part of it is that song now, because let the weight of your glory fall. I tasted something of that I had not never tasted before in my life. During what just happened once, may never happen again. I can't reproduce it. See, this is why He's bringing it to my mind. I can't reproduce it. I didn't produce it the first time. But during one of those services, the weight of His glory come on me. And I was listening to my own message Wednesday night, and sometimes you wish you hadn't said stuff, but you're really glad you did. I said, because what had happened, so in case you weren't here, what happened is, I've had His anointing come on me before, like thick molasses. I could feel it. And I can tell if I got it on you. You know, it's like just like molasses. You can feel it. But I'd never had it come where it took my legs away. Where two men had to hold me up and I'm so gone. And a white fog come over my eyes. I remember doing, these two guys are like, it got to where I can't, they're holding me up. And I can't even see if there's somebody in front of me. I remember going like this. Well, I couldn't tell if skin. Must be somebody to pray for. Then it got worse than that. It got to where I couldn't even do that anymore. They just take my hand and touch somebody, go, in the name. Now, the reason I'm saying that is that I didn't produce it the first time. I can't reproduce it. I don't know if it'll ever come again. Boy, I'm glad I was there to catch it when I did. Boy, am I glad about that. One thing, what I said Wednesday night that I probably shouldn't have said, but I'm really kind of glad I did. I said, one thing about that kind of anointing now, I've seen them, you know, staggering around like that. At least now I know it's real. Now that tells you volumes, doesn't it? I always wondered a little bit. Just kind of wondered a little bit. They play acting a little bit, you know. I know they mean well, but are they play acting? I know now they're not. Or at least I know I wasn't. I'm in here. I know I wasn't. Man, I'm glad I was there to catch that. I think what he's saying is, there's a coming, and we're already in that time now. A bowing of the knee, where your life is not your own. We will, where I am, the Lord says, there will my servant be also. And wherever He has you to be, that's where you be. Go ahead and open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, I know I say this every week. It's okay. I'm not going to take a show of hands who was not here at the 8:30 service. Tim Stemple taught at the 8:30 service. I'm telling you again, like I've told you before, if you couldn't be here, you need that tape. I'm not going to even try and teach it again, and there were some visual demonstrations there. But it goes right along with the theme that the Holy Spirit's been teaching us on. You don't have to turn there today, but it's at 1 Timothy 1:18, where Paul was exhorting Timothy. He says, according to the prophecies that have been spoken over you, war a good warfare. And what Tim was bringing out this morning in such detail and so graphically where you'll never miss it. He says, what you got to understand is if it's a true prophecy, that is none less than the Lord Jesus Himself, as if you were standing or really kneeling before His throne. If it's a true prophecy, then it's as though you were kneeling there or standing, however you picture, with your hands raised, however. Those are His words. Remember when Jesus was teaching about the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth that would come? He says, now He's not going to speak of His own accord. What that really means is, He says, the Holy Spirit's not come to be your Lord. Jesus is Lord. He says, but the Holy Spirit, what He hears, that's what He's going to speak to you. In other words, the Holy Spirit is everywhere at once. He is at this instant in heaven. He is at this instant with you, each and every one of us, with every believer around the whole planet. Whatever originates in the mind of Christ, the Holy Spirit communicates that to you. And you can get it through a word of... Sometimes it'll come through a tongue and interpretation. Sometimes it just comes by revelation. Sometimes it comes by a vision. Sometimes I've heard Him almost in an audible voice. Sometimes it'll be through a prophecy. I've had Pastor Dave speak a word of prophecy. Tim shared one this morning that 10 years ago that the Lord spoke to him through me. And I remembered the emotion of it that came at the time, and I almost started crying again here. But it wasn't my word to Tim. God forbid he tries to live on Gary's words. It was the Lord's word to Tim. And then he told us how another minister at another church in another place comes. And it wasn't exactly, everything wasn't just perfect to Tim at that service. But still yet, the Lord confirmed that word to you, didn't He, Tim? Now the point is this, and we've been teaching along this line, you've got to make up your mind, people, with those words of prophecy that have come to you. What has the Lord said to you? Get those words back out. It may be something He said to you personally, maybe something He said to you through another minister, maybe something He said to you 10 years ago. But you've got to decide, was it God? Is this really the words of the Lord to me? If it is, I better bow the knee. I mean, His words become your life. Now, if it's not His words, get rid of it. But don't be straddling the fence. Make up your mind. Is it the Lord speaking to you or is it not Him speaking to you? And if it is, get on with it. I heard somebody say, get on with it. Amen. Now that doesn't mean rush out with partial information. Again, I'm going to tell this story because it's so appropriate. I think Dave told it first. There was this young minister who was aspiring to hear the voice of the Lord. Does that sound like anybody you know? And in his prayer time, I mean, he was seeking. He says, Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? What do you want me to do with my life? And he honestly heard the Spirit of the Lord say, China. Boy, I mean, that's all he needed to hear. He got up, he got busy, he sold his house. He got his kids out of school. He sold his business, moved his whole family over to China and started a pioneering work. It failed miserably. After 2 years, he only led one person to Jesus. His wife got sick. His kids got sick. They went bankrupt. They wound up coming back to the United States almost in disgrace. And he goes back into prayer. And he goes, why, God? Why did you send me to China? Why? I was seeking you, Lord. Did you send me to China? And he finally got quiet. And the Lord says, all I said to you was China. I wanted you to buy your wife some China for your wedding anniversary. I wasn't sending you to China. You got to stick around for some details, boy. You need some instruction. Now, I know it's a little funny, but I'm telling you, whole lives have been wrecked because of that very principle right there. The Lord is not some cosmic interpersonal force. It's not the force be with you. It is the Lord be with you. He's alive. He's real. He's personal. And he knows when you ain't got it yet. No, you ain't got it yet. You may have the what, you may not have the when. You may have the when, you don't have the where. You may have the where, but you don't have the how. And he doesn't always tell you why. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. But he will tell you the details. The who, the what, the when, the where, and sometimes the why. And the reason I say that, y'all know that's true. He'll say, give $100 to that person. Why? None of your business. You don't need to know why. Just give it to him. Yes, sir. Sometimes I've also had him say, I've started to give some money to somebody. He says, don't give it to him. Why? None of your business. I told you, he's not a force. He is real. He is him. That would be a good title for something anyway. No, don't put that on there. He is him. He's real. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the reason I'm having you turn there, we're going to really only look at like the last verse in it. Now, the letter of 1 Corinthians, let's get some history. Let's get some background. Paul started this church. When he came to Corinth, Corinth was a very pagan city, very not a Jewish city by any means. It was a very... Corinth is a seaport. It'd be like a lot of our, you know, it's kind of a rough and tumble place. A lot of bars, I'm sure, in those days, and a lot of nightclubs, what they would call nightclubs. And it was a very much of a party type city, and pagan. Paul comes and starts a church. I mean, this is his church. These people he led to the Lord, and he's proud of them in many ways. Yet you can read very quickly in that first letter, this one here, chapter 3, what does he begin saying? He said, I'd like to speak unto you as spiritual. But he says, I can't because you're still carnal. You're like little babies. He says, I'd like to give you some meat, but you'd choke on it. All I can give you is milk. All right, to this very bunch, this, you could say, thumb-sucking, diaper needing changing. In other words, they make messes a lot. Whining, crying, selfish bunch. He also says in chapter 1, yet you come behind in no gift. And it is this very same letter where we have in all of the New Testament most of the information we have about the gifts of the Spirit. So let's look at them real quick. You're in 1 Corinthians 12. It's this chapter where he talks about them. And he says, starting in verse 7, there's a preacher in the making, glory to God, getting those lungs ready. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, that's the gift of faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing, plural, by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. And to another, divers kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the same self Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. Why would God use this bottle-sucking, whining and crying and complaining, mess-making church? Why would he use them in the gifts? Because it's the only way he could use them. And the reason I say that to you, in that same chapter, come right down to the end of it, Paul says, verse 31, covet earnestly the best gifts. I mean, you should want. How many of you would like to have the working of miracles? I mean, that's where they don't have a liver, and you pray, and God makes a new one on the inside. How many of you would like that one? All right, how about the gifts of healings, plural? You know, where they can get a physical healing, no matter what it is, or if they have an emotional healing, you know? Boy, I want that. Don't you want that? You know what that interpretation of tongues there is really talking about? For a public assembly. That's where you get ready, you stand up here, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost takes over your lips, or takes over the lips of somebody, and God gives a tongue, and He gives you the interpretation, and that is God speaking to that whole church. Give me some of that. Hallelujah. You know that's all available for babies. The instant you got born again, you've been qualified. Yeah, but I get mad if they sit in my seat. You qualify. Yeah, but Tim walked by and didn't even say hello to me. I got offended. And Tim was probably working on some problem trying to save somebody from suicide. You just don't know that. But you got offended. You still qualify. That's what Paul's telling this bunch. And this is exactly why God only uses them in the gifts. Because if they start, I mean, they're already pride with legs. Selfish to the max. If you really want to know what 1 Corinthians 14 is about, it's trying to get things decently and in order in the church. Because what was going on, section A over here says, we can pray in tongues better than you people in section D. And we're praying in tongues, and they go, well, ah, we're more spiritual than you. And they start praying louder. And they up it over here. So section C says, yeah, but we can prophesy. And they're prophesying while they're praying in tongues and while they're praying in tongues. That's what the 1 Corinthians 14 is about, trying to get order in the church. He said, please, a little decency, a little order. And yet, to this kind of a group, carnal, split, divided, puffed up, you ought to just count the number of times in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians that Paul uses the term puffed up. I am something. I'm all puffed up. I am important. I saw a little cartoon one time. It showed a little mouse. He was all, in the first scene, he's up close to him. Here's this little mouse he's got his chest all puffed out. I am big, he says. The next scene, the camera backs off and it's showing from the rooftop level. I am big, he's pretty small. The next scene shows Earth from outer space. His little voice, I'm big. That's what puffed up means. Think you become some kind of hot rod. Because the Holy Ghost, you laid your hands on somebody and God the Holy Ghost healed them. And you go, I have arrived. I told you I was more spiritual than you. I told you. That's exactly why God... So one day, He'd use one of them in the gift of healing. That same person, the next day, they'd do exactly what they did the day before. They couldn't reproduce it. Wouldn't happen. God would use that... Imagine, God would use red the next day. I mean, we love your red. And He'd use another... Why is He doing that? For the very purpose of... They're already pride. They're already puffed up. If He uses them consistently, it's just going to increase their pride level. So He said it's good to covet the best gifts. I mean, how many of you want? We all want the gifts of healing and the working of miracles. Listen, the whole church has been lied to. Most of the church thinks they're aspiring to qualify for the gifts of the Spirit. The truth of the matter is, you qualified the day you got born again. Because the gifts in that sense are for babies. You come behind in no gift. And you should always pray and expect and covet the best gift. Expect God to heal them. But look at this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 31. He says, covet earnestly the best gifts. Yet show I unto you a more excellent way. More excellent way for what? A more excellent way to minister than to stay for the next 50 years a baby only being used in the gifts of the Spirit, only as the Spirit wills. Jesus did not operate that way. He would walk up to somebody and basically offer them a menu. He, like a servant, like a waiter, serving from the master's table, he would walk up and he'd say, "What is it you'd have me do for you?" In other words, everything on my Father's table is available. You can have what you want. You need a healing? You need a devil cast out of your daughter? You need a child set free? What do you need? Well, what is 1 Corinthians 13? What is this more excellent way that Paul is talking about? What do we call 1 Corinthians chapter 13? The love chapter. Oh, and we all are walking in that completely. Now, in the King James here, it says, Tim, do you still have that Amplified Bible on you? Okay. It's all right. It's even... Now, it'll kill... Okay, here's one right here. I mean, it's strong enough in the King James. But in the Amplified, it's a killer. Let me come on down here to verse 4. Now, I know this sounds like every person in this church. Sounds like me. Sounds like everybody I know. Mm-hmm. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. Is not boastful or vainglorious. Does not display itself haughtily. Kind of sounds like the opposite of being puffed up, doesn't it? It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. For it is not self-seeking. See how that ties in with the exhortation over the offering? Those that gather much and continue to gather much for 40 years. Those that God are really going to call to gather much financially in these last days. They've got to be a people that are not doing it for their own selves. They're not self-seeking. They're doing it for the love of Christ and to save a lost and dead world. That kind of love is not self-seeking. It is not touchy, fretful, or resentful. I know we're all walking here. It takes no account of the evil done to it. Pays no attention to a suffered wrong. I'm not standing in front of you for any particular reason. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. Is ever ready to believe the best of every person. You know who I think of every time when I come to that? Pastor Dave. There's a guy right there that has probably seen most of us at our worst, or many of us. Yet, he'll always see the best in you. Sees that potential in you. Speak God's truth to you. The idea of building you up. It's ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. And it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails. It never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. Can you see a little potential left? Now, who is that really describing? That's the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the image of God our Father. That is our Father, manifested in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is the very image that the Holy Spirit, in Paul's second letter to this same group, 2 Corinthians 3:18, he tells them, He says, as we behold the glory of the Lord, we are changed into that same image. It's from glory to glory. It's progressive. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. God is changing us. I know I'm not 100% there. But He's changing all of us from where we are to that. Amen. If we let Him. Yes. All right? Now let's tie this in with His words to you. I'm going to read you a word that He gave me back in September of 1997. Why that is so important, 1997 is when Sue and I left on our first ministry trip. We had been at the prayer center for 5 years. I had been out of the truck since 94. We had been doing the Bible study in our home for 2 years. And we had ended it in July. And this was in September. And I don't know if we had yet left or just returned, but it's about the time of our very first ministry trip. So I was praying. Today I would call this a face-to-face encounter. Then I called it tongues and interpretation. This came after a period of long period of prayer. And then suddenly, it wasn't English anymore. I began speaking this and I wrote it down. Now see if this isn't a precise word from the Lord when He's about to send somebody out on their first ministry trip. He's talking to me. He said, it is time for you to make the choice. Whose ministry is this? Yours or mine? Are you going to minister to the people yourself? Or are you going to allow me to minister to the people myself through you? You are free to choose either path, and I will not force you. But know and understand that what you choose will not alter my perfect will for your life. I cannot fully anoint a lesser path that is chosen when the highest path has been made fully known to you. A 30-fold walk carries less anointing than a 60-fold walk. I have not yet given up on the 100-fold walk for you. Have you? Choose. I have many servants who minister in the strength of man as they tell the people about me. I have virtually none who minister in the strength of God and allow me to demonstrate the Father's love to the people myself. The best you can do in your own strength is to tell the people about the love of God, and that is what most ministries do. But I desire to demonstrate the love of God to the people myself. My Father works hereunto, and I work also. If you will spend enough time with me to learn how to let me do it. It is no mystery to me, and I will make it no mystery to you if you will give my Spirit the time required for you to learn it. Are you one who will let the Father do the works by my anointing within you? Or shall I look for another? I can almost quote that verbatim without this piece of paper. I didn't want to take a chance. Since it's on tape, I wanted to make sure I got it word for word. That is not something I refer to once every few months. That is something that's on the inside of me that is constantly at work. But it didn't happen that way in the beginning, and it's not that way by accident. It's because I went over these and over these. This is one of many. Over them and over them. And I am still possessing more and more of this language. At the time that He first told us these kind of things, of course, these words mean a lot more to me now. You do understand that that was before the born-again trail. That was My understanding of who I am, where I'm from, why I'm here is so vastly better now than it was when he first told me that. So this word is an ever-increasing word in our lives. I mean, from the get-go, we've seen God use us in the gifts at various times. He would teach us along from the beginning, and we became more free and more expecting. Once we understood this, that the gifts were for babies, man, that was a great faith builder for us. And we, yeah, get in line here. We expect God to do stuff. But see, over these years, He is still in the process of transforming us to this more excellent way. The gifts don't diminish. They become resident. They become resident as our nature, can I say it that way, as our soul and our motivations, our aspirations are conformed to Jesus Christ. Paul said it this way. He got to the point, he says, "For me to live is Christ." I meditated on that. I said, "What are you saying, Paul?" And it's almost like this. It's like Paul says, if I could step out of my body today and somehow I could sit on a chair over there and the Lord Jesus would step in and you'd watch Him using my body today, what you would see Him doing is absolutely no different than what you'd see me doing in this body. For me to live is Christ. Boy, if that kind of a life is available, let's press towards that mark. Let's press towards that mark. Well, how does it come? Is that a good question? How does it come? Well, I ask that question along as time goes on. You know, of course, part of it is doing the message. What part of it? All of it. Now, here's one aspect. I'm just going to choose a little portion of this. I want to read you. This was a year later, same month, a year later, 1998, September. And most of you, we now have this lesson at the website, and it's also in written form and in audio form, called the Scourging Post. And that's where the Lord was teaching me about fasting and why really He wanted me to do it. And there's one particular part here. And again, we've done this. I'm just going to use an excerpt from it. And He's talking about the difference between operating in the gifts and operating as a mature son of God with resident anointing. Now, when I say that, I do not mean that the anointing proceeds out of your spirit. The anointing didn't even proceed out of Jesus' spirit. Jesus never did any miracles until the Holy Ghost come on Him. What we are talking about, though, is where the Son trusts, where the Father trusts the Son with all that He has. You have to group together a lot of teachings. Everything the Father has already belongs to us as inheritance. Everything, the day will come when everything I have will be passed down to my grandchildren. The youngest one right now is Cole Matthew, 2.5 years old. So you could say, well, technically, legally, in a way, that big old town car we drive out there, that's Cole's by inheritance, and it is. But I assure you, we are not going to trust the keys to that town car to a 2.5-year-old. And aren't you glad about that? Well, that's exactly the kind of analogy we're talking about here. He's wanting, God has all of this vast work He wants to do, and it's already ours by inheritance, this power. But if we're still motivated by pride, if ego is our, you know, if ego is what's important to us, how much can He trust you with? You just become more puffed up than you already are. Okay. So He was dealing with me a year later. I'm still asking Him about this. I'm going to have to read you a little more than I thought. And I know it's going to run a little over. Just tighten your belt a notch. You'll make it. Now, when He talks about the scourging post in here, just know He's talking. In fact, I'm just going to use the term fasting now. I didn't even know He was talking about fasting. This is just one aspect of doing the message, okay? This is part of seeking that more excellent way, because you can tell the more excellent way is to walk in love. If you walk in love, then it's not just by the gifts. Well, how do we change from where we are to walking in love? One of the keys is fasting. He says it this way to me. He says, you have asked. Well, how many of you guys have asked? He says, you have asked for the Lamb's perfect will for your life. Show of hands. How many have asked for that? Most of you. Okay? Here's his definition of it to me. He said, the perfect will of God is represented by the words of Christ when he said, quote, take up your cross and follow me. You have asked to know what your cross is, that you may bear it. Understand that on the path to that cross, you first come to the scourging post, or you could say fasting. The scourging post is where, or fasting, is where all those things of the flesh must die before you shall be able to take up your cross. The scourging post is where man's aspirations die. The scourging post is where weakness of the flesh is purged. The scourging post is where your will dies completely and his will becomes yours. Now see, I'm just a plain old boy. I'm not a real scholarly type. I can tell you real quick what my will is. My will is to eat all the time. That is my will. I mean, I can understand this. If I go by my will, I will never eat miss a meal the rest of my days. And you can tell that's pretty much been living according to my will. You look at this. And every time you fast, you're teaching your will there's a new sheriff in town. There's a new boss. There's a new Lord. The Spirit has come to rule that flesh. Not your will, flesh. I've come in the name of the Lord. You will bow the knee. I want a cheeseburger. Bow it anyway. Just let me have some soup. Bow it. Hallelujah. It's hard though. I don't like it. I'm a little bit suspicious of those who do, but anyway. Now, I like it. I like it in the sense that it's going to get me to where I need to go. But that doesn't mean it's pleasant while I'm going there. Okay? See, so I know what this means. The scourging post is where your will dies. My will wants a hamburger. It's training to impose the will of the Lord over your will. And his will becomes yours. The scourging post is where what is known as man must bow the knee, so those things of the flesh may be exposed by the lash of the Spirit to be purged by the blood of the Lamb. Okay. Where we're all going. No veil of anonymous. See, when he uses words I can't say, I'm pretty sure it's him. I don't even think I have it spelled right, but anyway. That's not a word I use. No veil of being anonymous can be permitted on the path of the high call of God in Christ Jesus. To walk in the Father's perfect will for you, my son, total exposure to the people shall be required. What they see in ministry must be what you are at home. Well, you know it was that way with Jesus. And I'll tell you something else. You should know it's that way with Paul. And I've been around this place for 13 years. And from everything I've seen, it is that way with Dave. I was there the day his house burned down. Sitting out there. Same piece of God in that truck. Making sure that we had coffee. While his house is burning, we're watching it. And he starts telling cow jokes. Gary, do you know what you call a cow that can't give milk? Your house is burning down. Well, that's a milk dud. Dave, your house. Oh, it's also known as an utter failure. Exactly the same. Well, you know, cracking those jokes, whether he's here at the pulpit and everything's wonderful, or we're sitting there watching his house burn down. Okay? So let me say it again. What they see in ministry must be what you are at home. At that level of power, now we're coming into it. At that level of power, no hypocrisy is permissible. The same power that will heal them will destroy you. And has not history proven this fact through the many servants who attained to that walk of power, yet cloaked their flesh behind a veil of hypocrisy? The enemy cannot be restrained when such is the case, and his arsenal of destruction is fully launched against all unpurged flesh. It must needs be that you come first to the scourging post before you arrive at your cross. Now, I've said all that to say this. To walk in that realm. This was 1998. This was before the born-again trail. This was before we knew most of the things that we know now sitting here. But he said to me, to walk in that realm requires the transformation to love. Yet show I unto you a more excellent way. To walk in that realm requires the transformation to love. And this is the first time I ever heard of this. I am not speaking of walking in the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. For both you and Sue are now able to walk at that level. I never even knew there was a difference till the Holy Ghost began teaching me and showing me. He says, the scourging post is on the path. And let's say it this way. People, church, prayer center, if you're hearing my voice, fasting is on God's path for your life. Why is it so quiet? The way he said it, the scourging post is on the path for you if you desire to ever walk in His manifested glory. The song that was sung today, let the weight of your glory fall. How many of you want to walk in His manifested glory? Then He says to me, the scourging post, fasting, is on the path for you if you desire to ever walk in His manifested glory. And the sooner you embrace the scourging post, the sooner the power of the Spirit is released to transform you more into the image of Him who beget you. So here it is, more than 10 years later. And I'm telling you right now, it's a progressive walk. I can remember the guy who first heard these words back in 1997. I know I was at the ugly building. I know, I remember in part what my motivations were, my dreams. And I think about who I am today. And I am not that same man. Does that mean I have arrived? No. Paul didn't arrive. You could read it in Philippians. He says, I'm still pressing towards the mark. What things are past, I have to let those go. I have to look forward. And I am pressing toward the mark for the high call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, there is this season. Again, this probably wasn't on the tape. I'm going to say it again because I see the picture again. We're coming into a season. We're in a, here we go again, trying to wrap words around pictures. The body of Christ is about to bow the knee before the throne of Jesus Christ in an unprecedented way up until this time. I know that Jesus is your Lord. He knows it too. But we're coming into a level of reality of that Lordship that even for those who have been walking by His Spirit for many years, is going to be new to you. It's going to be as though you literally hear His voice. I'm not saying you will, but you might. But it is going to become so unmistakable. Yes, sir. And there will be a group who is going faster and faster and faster. And it's to those who at His voice, they tremble. His voice is their precious treasure. His voice, His words become your life. And there's no hidden agendas, no self-motivation, no profit motivation, except to bow the knee and serve your King. Those are coming into a level of lordship and leadership unprecedented since the first century. And I could say, says the Spirit of the Lord. I'm telling you, He's showing it to me again. Jeremy, you still here? I'm not going to keep you. I'm just asking for the order. Just run us through that a couple of times. Now just, you can stay seated. May the weight of your glory again. Anyone that wants to help, welcome.
Let the weight of your glory.
That's your prayer. If you want the weight of His glory, just lift your hands and begin to tell Him. Jesus, let the weight of your glory.
The weight,
I want to walk in your glory. I want that more excellent way. Your words are my life, Lord.
Cover me.
I treasure your words above all else.
Let the light of your
Lord, if I'm weak, I'm calling upon your grace, Lord. Bring me to the scourging post, Master. With my will, I offer up my will, Lord. Now help me with your strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Strengthen me with your power. I can do this, Lord, by your strength. Hallelujah. Thank you. Father, I thank you that as we leave this place today, Father, your presence goes with us. Your Spirit continually reminds us, Lord. And Father, I know how do I say that? For you've asked for a very difficult thing, not from where I sit, says the Lord. But from where you sit, it's a difficult thing. Most do run from the scourging post. Most run from their cross once they see it, although they cried to me for years to see it. As I bring forth my mind in these days, the level of accountability is measured by my words that you've heard with your ears. There will be some who will run backwards. Be not as those. Hear my words, hear my voice. And press towards the mark. Glorious days are just over the horizon, says the Lord. Don't let your hunger die. Continue to hear and continue to hearken I am about to kindle a fire that cannot be quenched. And the world will come. For the world needs what I am birthing in this day. Don't run. Don't run away backwards. But run forwards. Press towards the mark. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I saw a... It might help to see the picture I saw. I saw a group, saw those two groups, the one going faster and the one going slower. For the one going faster, every person there is going to come to the scourging post. By the way, it's fasting is the number one way. But there are other things that he's going to say, this has to go out of your life, that has to go out of your life. And I saw just a few, not a lot, but I saw a few out of that faster group run towards the slower group. He'll let you. You'll still go to heaven. I don't want to be in that group. You don't either. Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you. Seal this in us today, Father. Let us all be changed, Lord. Father, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Thank you for an infusion of your grace now. By your Spirit who is everywhere right now among us, infuse us all with more grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.